And praise. Come on, choir. Come on, let us worship the Lord. This is the last Sunday of the year, the 52nd Sunday of 2020, and never will be again. God has brought us through so much. Death and pain, sorrow and sickness, pandemic. God is worthy. 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 Hallelujah. God is worthy. God is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, God is worthy. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Glory to your name, God. You're worthy to be praised. For you brought us to this last Sunday of the year. You truly navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being present in this place. And in your presence, Lord, we have hearts filled with joy, minds regulated by peace, because you are our captain and caregiver. If it had not been for you, Lord, we would not be here. But because of you, we're here and we are in our right minds. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate it on Friday. Jesus is coming. We thank you for the salvation that we receive when we deposited our faith in him. Lord, since that time, our walk with you has grown sweeter and sweeter. Better and better. Day by day, Lord, the pathway gets brighter. We're all looking forward to that day where you will crack the eastern sky. Your Son Jesus will ride down on a cloud, and he will have the angel to blow his trumpet. And there will be a reunion. But Father, until then, we gather ourselves weekly, daily, to praise and worship you, because you're God and you're God alone. Thank you. Your hand is upon us. Your hand of protection. Your hand of provision. Your hand of power. We have witnessed the manifestation of your power and presence, and is marvelous in our eyes. Now, Father, as we have gathered for the purpose of worship and word, we pray now that you cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forward. Lord, I pray this time be a time of confrontation, challenge, and change. The things we were guilty of in 2020, we'll lay aside because they have impeded and hindered us. And we will run easier in 2021, if it's your will. We thank you, Lord, for your word. The sureness of your word. Now, Father, I decrease. That you increase, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, will be acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength, and you are my redeemer. Create unity, a oneness between this pulpit and pew and those who are watching virtually. That the world may know your Son, Jesus Christ, has come. We need you, Lord, to give us your word. We thank you in advance for your word. We speak because you have spoken in Jesus' name. Forgive us of our sins, that we will be fit vessels to be used by you. And when you would have finished with us, you will still have all the honor, power, and praise. In Jesus' name. Every heart say amen. Come on, this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful occasion God has given unto us. He has truly blessed us in our being here today and being alive, alert, and active. For it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. I'm glad about today. This is the 52nd Sunday of 2020, the last Sunday of the year. Never could have made it without the Lord. Amen. That ought to be our testimony. Amen. And never would have made it. Never could have made it without the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly to Reverend McCoy, who has presided over our service, Reverend Mims, and to this angelic praise team who has blessed us this morning in song, and to the musicians and to the deacon brethren who have led us in devotion, and to all of you. It's good for us to be alive. Let me push rewind and say that again. It's good for us to be alive. I want to express gratitude to Brother Eric and Brother McShan, and to the praise singers, and to our youth, and to all who participated, the media ministry, Brother Tony and Brother McShan, for the virtual Christmas service. I pray that it was warm and worshipful. We thought we would do a little differently this year, and there's nothing wrong with doing things different. Amen. We're living in a technical age, an era where computer is taking over, and if you don't make the adjustments, you won't be able to function. Sometimes I think about our seniors, and you know, now if you call these 1-800 numbers, you get an automated service, and may not know how to talk to a computer. And the computers are persistent. They ask what you need, and you trying to get to the operator, and they still saying, well, tell us the nature of your call. And so they are persistent. We see a lot of technology and how things are evolving technically. You go to McDonald's and you hear a pre-recorded, may I help you? and you start giving your order, and then hear somebody else come along and say it again. Well, may I take your order? So we are evolving technically, and it brings about change. Now listen, the word of God will never change, but some of the way we do things, we have been challenged in this season to change. Amen. We've made several shifts this year. We went from full service to a virtual parking lot, back virtual, abbreviated service with people in attendance. And we're still virtual, and we kept the virtual services through the midst of it all. But we are changing. And the way we do church, listen, we have some things coming that I want to share with you, and I plan to call a meeting so we can get together so I can share some of the things that will help us reach out more and include and try to invite people on the outside in. Amen. And so we will talk about that. The deacons and I and the trustees and all of that, leaders, we have been talking, and I'm going to share it with you so that we can do what we need to do in this technical age to make a difference. Amen. Listen, we've been blessed tremendously through this season of pandemic. Seasons change, so you have to know your faith and hope has to go beyond the present predicament. Seasons change, and they won't always be like this. It won't always be like this. Amen. I can put a smile on my face because I believe God is working this thing out. Amen. Let me see. Well, I can't see your face, but let me just see you through the mask smile. Amen. Amen. It make you feel better when you smile. Amen. Smile. Smile. Brother Long, you're not prepared to make a report, are you? All right. All right. We have received some more funds, and I'm going to let them work that out so they can give you all the good news. Listen, I thought you shouted before, but when you hear the number, you should not be able to hold your seat. Yeah, God is using us to bless people. Amen. And it's a blessing to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Listen, please be in prayer for Sister Lewis. She lost her husband, Brother Willie, on the other day. And funeral for Brother Willie is tentative Friday. So we'll do watch night Thursday night going into Friday morning, and then Friday day, if the plans stay, we will drive down to Montevallo and do the funeral. And then Sunday morning is coming again. Listen, I want you to, if you haven't already and you plan to be here, make sure you register for the watch night service. This is the last service of the year, the last worship experience. We will start at 10 because we want to give you time to tell it. Tell of the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for you. Come on, get me right on the mic. Amen. So we can worship together and praise together. That's what the Bible says. Weep with them that weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. So we're looking to do that on Thursday night, going into Friday morning. Amen. It is a time of celebration. You made it. Amen. Amen. If the Lord delays his coming, you made it. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. Beginning with verse 1. Comfort ye my people, said my God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but. That's a good but. The word of our God shall stand forever. Look at somebody and say, looking beyond captivity. Look at another and say, looking beyond captivity. Amen. As you go to your seat, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Looking beyond captivity. God called a prophet by the name of Isaiah and charged him to tell Judah of her sin. Ironically, Judah is called the people of praise. But the people of praise receive no praise from God. It was that God had summoned, commissioned, and called Isaiah to tell Judah of her rebellion. It is in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, where Isaiah says, hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Judah, the elect of the select, were told that they were a rebellious people. God had blessed the fathers by bringing them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, brought them into the promised land. God had blessed the fathers. But after Joshua died, the same people that God had blessed turn on God. Yeah. Yeah. Let us pause to think about how we sometimes act. That's right. That's right. and how we respond to God. Seem like the more we're blessed, the worse we get. God had blessed Judah, the fathers of the nation, by bringing them out of bondage into a promised land. And there in the promised land, after the death of Joshua, the Bible says, and Judges, that every man done what was right in his own eyes. Which means they abandon the way of God. It's easy to abandon the way of God when things are well, when life is comfortable, when life is at an ease. It's easy to take your eyes off of God. But God has a way of dealing with us when we choose to turn our backs on God. When we choose to forsake His way, God has a way of dealing with His rebellious children. It is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he received. God chastens. He disciplines. His love for his children is not only seen in his giving. His love for his children is also seen in his discipline. God knows how to put something on you.
That's right.
He knows how to whip, to straighten you out. He knows how to deal with you when you decide or choose to forsake his teachings and instructions. There are disciplinary consequences for disobedience. Rebellion. What is it? Rebellion simply means opposition to one in authority. It is unsuccessful defiance of our resistance to God. And the reason I said it is unsuccessful, because you cannot win when you choose to go against God.
Amen.
And amen goes right there.
Amen.
Even us as people of God, as the saved of God, we rebel, because rebellion is still in us and it needs to be dealt with, because we are children of God, sons of God and daughters of God. That doesn't mean that there is no rebellion in us. Rebellion is in all of us.
That's right.
Let me prove my posture. You're looking at me strange. Paul in Romans chapter 7, at the close of Romans chapter 7, says, the good that I would do, that I do not, and that I should not do, that what I find myself doing, is because there's a sin nature on the inside of us. And the moment you got saved, the sin nature didn't go away. That's why there's a war going on the inside of you. And every time you do want to do good, there comes something in your mind to turn you against that which is good. There is rebellion in all of us.
Yeah, that's right.
Here it is. The Bible reveals to us how God deals with us. He knows how to unleash some stuff. To allow some experiences to allow some people to nag and to bother you, and some cantankerous people to be unleashed in your life. You allow some people to be on your job that made a promise when you stood and had them that they were going to be there, but they are doing just the opposite.
Yeah.
In the home with you.
That's right.
You know, Job's wife was with him when things were good. But when things turned bad, she said, "Why don't you just curse God?"
Yeah.
If it happened to Job, it can happen to you. None of us are beyond a Job experience. God knows how to allow some things to be unleashed in your life. To do what he wants done. He wants to discipline you. He disciplines with a cold, cruel, and careless nation. Notice what he did. He allowed the Babylonians to come into Jerusalem and invade the city and take the nation of Judah captive.
Right.
We read about it in Daniel.
That's right.
Daniel and the three boys.
Yeah.
How God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to come in and take them captive. And he took all of the choice people back to Babylon, leaving the land of Jerusalem in ruins.
Yeah.
And they stayed in captivity for 70 years. We think we're in something in 10 months, but they stayed in it for 70 years.
That's right.
70 years of being tested. 70 years of being tried. 70 years of confrontation with pagans. 70 years. But God was in the midst of the years with them. Listen, we have been in this pandemic for 10 months. And it seems that it has been a long time. But listen, right in the midst of the pandemic, God is in it with us. Listen, don't you give up on God, because God has not given up on you. You got to keep your hands in God's hands, because what God allows, he's allowing it for a reason. There's either something God wants to put in you or get out of you. We look at the text because God allows us to see that he's going to turn this thing around. He's going to change things for the good. You know, when you belong to God, all things work for your good. Even the hurtful things and the bad things, all of it is working for your good. I want you to personalize it today. It's working for my good. It's working for my good. Come on, tap on yourself. It's working for my good. It's going to be all right. Because God is working in this for my good. I'm going to be better when I come out of this. It's for my good. It detects several things I want to draw out of the 8 verses that I shared with you then. will help us look beyond our present predicament. First of all, notice the comfort of God. The comfort in verses 1 and 2, he says, comfort ye my people, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received the Lord's hand double for her sins. Notice comfort means to be sorry in a favorable sense, to pity, to console. Here it is, God has sent the prophet now to console them after he has warned them of what will happen to them because of their sin. In 39 chapters, he has been saying to them that you are going to be punished of God. You are going to be punished of God. You are going to be punished of God. God is going to allow you to be taken into captivity. 39 chapters. And here at chapter 40, he tells the prophet to give them a word of comfort. Listen, although God gets angry and God gets upset with us, he doesn't stay upset. The same God who chastens is the same God who comforts. Comfort ye. Comfort ye. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her and say to her that her struggle is over. That her warfare is accomplished. Watch it. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and tell Jerusalem that her appointed time is accomplished. That means that God has a succession of time wherein he allows us to go through some unfamiliar happenings and to experience some unfamiliar occasions, because he knows that when we are in unfamiliar territory, we know nothing but to call on him. He says, tell him that their time of deliverance has come. Speak to their heart. Listen, we've been in this thing for 10 months, and a lot of people have broken hearts. People dying everywhere. Broken hearts. In the midst of the death and sickness, people are scuffling and struggling to make ends meet. Just last Sunday we celebrated how we were able to bless people without broken heart. Looking at your child or children sick, spouse sick, broken heart. Being furloughed on your job, broken heart. Don't even know if there'll be a job when this thing is over. The unemployment line has more than you standing in it. Afraid to go out anywhere without a mask. And you shouldn't. Wear your mask. Broken heart. People you hadn't seen in 10 months. Don't know how they're doing. Don't know how they're faring.
That's right.
Broken hearts.
Yeah.
And here it is. The prophet says to Judah, your struggle is over. The war is over. It's like Job. When God allowed Satan to touch Job and his possessions, it was only for a period of time. And Job was afflicted.
Yes.
Chapter 1, and here it is, 42 chapters later. After going back and forth with his friends, and after saying to God what he said to God, and God correcting him about God being God. The Bible says in chapter 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. And he prayed for his friends also, and the Lord gave Job twice as much. Comfort. Here it is. Knowing that there is an expiration date. I'm not telling you today is the expiration date, but God has an expiration date. And every day he gives us, draws us closer to the expiration date. I'm getting closer to my breakthrough every day. You can smile when you look at it like that. I may be in the midst of some chaotic and crazy now, but I'm getting closer to my breakthrough, my deliverance. Our deliverance as a people, we are drawing closer and closer every day. He says, speak to their hearts and let them know that the war is over.
That's right.
There's a time of peace. He says, let them know that their sins are forgiven. What caused them to experience such an occasion, such a horrendous and horrible occasion, has been done away with. Their sins. Now, we don't like to hear that word now. Don't tell me what's wrong with me. Tell me what's right.
That's right.
We don't like to hear about sins now.
That's right.
You know, when you start talking about sins, I knew you all were going to kind of tune me out, you know, and turn me off, because we don't like to hear about sin.
That's right.
If I had time, I would talk about a few of them. But since I don't have the time, he says, your sins. Listen, I don't have to call it out for you to know what yours is.
That's right.
Because I know what mine.
That's right.
He says, your sins are forgiven. That's comforting. That, listen, God has forgiven me of my sins. Now I'm on my way to a better place. Because if my sins are not forgiven, I'm hell bound.
That's right.
But thanks be to God that I'm not on my way to hell, nor am I on my way to anything that's harder than I'm going through. He has forgiven me of my sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has let it go.
Amen.
I'm no longer bound by what I've done.
That's
a word for somebody.
Right.
Listen, y'all don't mind if I take my time and preach this to you. That's a word for somebody. Listen, some of you are allowing Satan to blackmail you. You're allowing other people to hold that over your head. What you have done when you were a kid or a child. You are letting people use that and constantly bring that up in your life. Listen, you've been past that stuff. You've been over that. Now they keep keep on talking about it and you still bothered by what you used to do when you were a boy. You done went to college and got a degree and now you're no longer on the streets. Don't you let people hold that stuff over your head. Your sins are forgiven.
Yeah, that's right.
And if God doesn't bring it up,
yeah,
I'm all right. I said, if God, I didn't say people now, because you know, people want to know you by the bad you've done. You know, when you go to ask somebody about somebody, you know, little Ronnie.
That's right.
You know, when we were in school, little Ronnie that got arrested for stealing the piece of candy out the store. Done a whole lot of good, but all they can think about is something that he has done bad. To jar your memory about little Ronnie.
Yeah.
Every last one of us got a pass.
Yeah.
But it's exactly what it is.
That's right.
The pass.
That's right.
Your sins. Whew, boy. Oh, forgive them. That's comforting. But watch him now. Not only does he deal with the past, he deals with the present, because he deals with the condition of your life must change. In verse 4, he deals with four conditions. He says to them, there are some high places. There are some low places. There are some crooked places and there are some rough places.
That's right.
That needs to be changed.
Yeah.
Every valley. Every valley shall be brought up. There are some spiritual valleys. Your prayer life is low.
Yeah.
Your Bible intake is low.
Yeah.
Your church attendance low.
Yeah.
Your forgiveness low. Your anger. You don't know how to deal with it.
That's right.
So your personality is low. And God said, I know how to deal with you.
That's right.
So that you'll come up. I know how to allow some stuff to happen in your life. Wherein you wasn't praying, getting up out of the bed, rushing to the vanity, to wash your face, brush your teeth, getting to the table, stuffing food in your mouth, running out to work. Never said a thing to God about how he kept you all night long and how he blessed you with the food on your table and how he blessed you with health and strength. You were so busy, you didn't even have time to pray. Came back home from lunch, sat at the table, ate your lunch, never said God thank you. Leave, go back to work, make it to work, never say God thank you for keeping me. Get off work, go back home, eat something, take a shower, not thanking God for the water, laying in the bed, never saying to God, thank you for keeping me all night long. And you get up day after day doing the same thing. It becomes routine. God says your prayer life low.
That's right.
Somebody mistreated you. You have the audacity to hold a grudge and to be vindictive. I forgive, but I don't forget.
That's right.
Y'all know how easy. And God says your forgiveness is low. He says, I got a way of dealing with you to bring you up to where you ought to be. I can let some things happen in your life where the same folk you talking about not forgetting will be the same folk that have to reach out a helping hand. God got a way of bringing you when you're low up to where you ought to be.
That's right.
He says, but some areas of your life you're too arrogant.
That's right.
Pompous and prideful. You think you the stuff. You think you the full bag of chips. And the Coca-Cola that follows. You think you the sneaker that satisfies everybody's hunger.
That's right.
God says, I got something for you. I know how to bring you off of that pedestal.
That's right.
Y'all, I got to finish this. He says, I can make your high places low. And he says, you're crooked. You're deceitful. You tell people one thing and do something else.
That's right.
You have no intention of making good of your word. That means that you are deceitful. He says, I know how to make you straight.
That's right.
You're rough. Where's your kindness?
Yeah.
You allowed the world to make you mean and angry. Because, listen, your experiences will either make you better or bitter. And God says, I have a way of making you plain. That's not the past now. That's the present. Can I be transparent? Some of us hadn't changed a bit.
That's right.
In the midst of the pandemic.
Yeah.
We have brought all of this stuff through the 2020 year, and we're trying to drag it. Come on with me. Come on. We're trying to drag it into another year. And God said, if 2020 don't get you, I can allow it to linger on in 2021. And I'm going to allow it to happen until I get your attention. He changes the conditions. I'm finished here. When I tell you this last point, he deals with the one thing that's sure, that's able to keep, that's able to stabilize, that's able to secure us in the midst of our captivity. Come here. Let me tell you what it is. Come here. You're not close enough. Come here. He deals with the constancy of his word.
That's right. That's right. That's
He says right in verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever.
Amen.
Are y'all there with me? He tells us that the grass is people. That you thought people could deliver you. So instead of you calling on God, you start calling on people.
That's right.
He says people are just as fickle as grass.
That's right.
Listen, they are seasonal. You know, grass only stays green for seasons, spring and summer. But when the fall and winter comes, it turns brown. It withers. There's no sign of life because it's brown. See, God had to allow this thing so you would understand that the people you thought you could depend on, you can't. They're withered. You looking at them.
That's right.
And they withered. And you, oh God, what I'm going to do now?
That's right.
And so what you do is leave this person, come over here to another person because they green. And you clean. God says, all right. Extend the season. They wither. Oh Lord, what I'm going to do now? You're still looking horizontally, but you hadn't looked vertically.
That's right.
See, to look vertically means you look up and down.
That's right.
You're too busy looking from side to side.
That's right.
You're not looking up to God and down at his word.
Yeah.
Y'all missed it, didn't you? See, instead of you looking up to God and down at his word, you're looking from person to person. And you trying to figure out why things are bottoming out in your life and why things are not going well in your life is because you're looking in the wrong directions. He says the grass withers and the flowers fade. But you know, I've been able to smile through all of this. Because the word doesn't change.
That's right.
Some of you have allowed the circumstances to dictate how you respond to God. The word of God doesn't change.
Yeah.
He says, but the word of the Lord stands forever.
That's right.
I like Peter. In Peter, First Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, he says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, its flowers fade away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Watch him now. He says that man fades, but the word of God endures forever. It's sure. It's steady. It's steadfast. It's faithful. It's trustworthy. It stands the test of time.
That's right.
This is my problem. with all of this modern stuff. It's stylistic.
Yeah.
But styles change.
That's right.
I don't have to grab a style.
Yeah.
Because styles change. I just stick with what I got. Do it the way I do it. Because the word doesn't change. See, you're trying new stuff. Trying new people. Because you think the old has failed.
That's right.
I told us in the introductory or in the introduction that technology changes, but the word. See, you don't have to put down the Bible and try meditative rituals.
That's right.
You know, Hinduism and Buddhism and Confucianism and all of that. Kung Fu, karate, judo, yo-yo. You're trying something else because you think God has failed.
That's right.
God says, wait a minute. I gave you something that changes not. He said, that's my word. When Jesus came on and he's seen, he says, before one jot or tittle passes from it, heaven and earth will pass. He deals with the sureness of the word. Listen, the reason I can smile in the midst of all of the chaos is because by his word and through his word, he has given me a glimpse. He allows me to see beyond the situation. And every day, I'm getting closer to my deliverance. Now, I want you to do something again. Knowing that, I want you to put a smile on your face. You leave in a year. And you're going into another year. And if it doesn't change right off, we have a picture. We have a foretaste of what is going to be. God is going to change this thing. There's comfort in the midst of our chaos. God is conditioning us. But he gives us the constancy of his word. Fold your arms up. Just smile. Look at the person you're sitting next to and just give them the biggest smile you can give them through that mask. Show them all your teeth through that mask. There's something I want you to say to Satan. Nah. Everyone to your feet if you will. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Listen, God is bringing us through this.
Yeah.
And every day, he's bringing us closer to our deliverance.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait until the struggle is over. You can praise the Lord now. Because you have eyes to see. Spiritual eyes to see, because you have spiritual ears to hear. There's comfort. The struggle. One day we'll be able to say, God, the struggle is over. The warfare is accomplished. You have forgiven us of our sins. That's comforting to know that he doesn't hold our past against us. But there's conditioning for the present. God, the areas in my life that's low, high, crooked and rough, I surrender to you. Make me better day by day. That's the process. I may not be all that I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not who I used to be. There's a change, a wonderful change that's being wrought in my life. Thirdly, there's constancy of the word. God has given me something that's sure, that I can hold on to, that I don't have to worry about changing like people change. Circumstances change. Periods change. It's sure. That's a word for somebody here. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come, give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. If you can believe in your heart that God raised up his son the third day and confessed the Lord Jesus with your mouth, the Bible says, thou shall be saved. Secondly, if you're here and you need a church home, and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come today. Come today. Don't delay. Come today. Thirdly, if you're here and you need to be restored, you feel like a dish rag that has been wrung out. It seems like the troublesome of our time and the pandemic has taken all you got. You don't know if you got the energy, the vitality, the vigor to face 2021. God says, I can restore, I can re-energize, I can rebuild, refocus you. Come today. Come today. Come today. Come today. Straight like Noah, reaches to me. You are my strength. Come on, come on, worship with us if you will. To me, you are. Yes, he is. Let that word, let that song assemble in your spirit. Reaches to me. You are my hope. Hope like no other. Reaches to me. You are my hope. We almost dismissed. Come on, get this in your spirit. Father, reaches. yes to me. My peace. Oh, hallelujah. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen. Be blessed.